Welcome back, Talkline on Metro News, all across the great state of West Virginia. Hoppy Kirchhoffel with you this morning, 1-800-765-8255. Please welcome to the program the Secretary of the Treasury, John Snow, joins us this morning. Mr. Secretary, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Hoppy, I'm great. Good to be back with you.
Good to talk with you again. New jobless figures out just, what, within the last 15 minutes?
They just came out from the BLS, and it was good news for West Virginia. Strong job pickup in February, and in we got good numbers for March as well. 3,400 additional jobs on top of the 4,500 in February. So the West Virginia is turning the corner and going the right way, which is great news.
However, what about the national figures out as well today?
No, the figures are out today for all the states.
Okay.
And this is a breakdown of the national data that came out 2 weeks ago into state-by-state data.
I got you.
And the national data was nearly 300,000 jobs, 288,000 jobs.
So you say the figures you have today shows a growth in jobs in West Virginia.
A nice growth, a nice pickup. And it's a continuing trend, which is the encouraging thing, because we know that West Virginia's had difficulties.
You know, Mr. Secretary, it's and we talk about that all the time here on Talkline, and one of the criticisms that Democrats have made of the Bush administration is that, well, 21,000 jobs have been, manufacturing jobs have been lost in West Virginia over the last 3.5 years. And one of the arguments that I have made is, yeah, but I don't think you can lay that blame at the feet of the president. I think that those are economic conditions that have prevailed here. We have state issues that are trumping some of the national issues. So then, if that is the case, if the president should not be blamed for the loss of 21,000 jobs over the last 3 years, should he be credited for the gain of jobs over the last couple months?
Hoppy, I'd make a real difference there.
All right.
The loss of jobs is fundamentally the result of broad-based economic forces that the president inherited. And a recession that he inherited, the collapse of the stock market that he inherited, the 9/11, which was had a traumatic effect on the national economy, then those corporate scandals that really had their origins back in the 90s, and then the war in Afghanistan, the war on terror, the war in Iraq, all of which have had negative consequences for the economy. But despite that, the economy is coming back, and it's coming back because the president took action. And, of course, the primary action he took was to push through the Congress this major tax bill, which took effect about a year ago. And from the day it took effect, we could see the effects on the economy. It was like putting oxygen into the economy, and it started to grow and expand.
Mr. Secretary, why is it, though, that the economy, I mean, you look at all the signs, and it's clear the economy is beginning to turn around, and that's probably contributing to the rise in gasoline prices, and we can get to that. But if that is the case, why is it that I see polls that say Americans have less confidence in the economy? They don't think the economy is doing well. What's the disconnect? How do you explain the disconnect?
Well, there seems to be a disconnect, Hoppy. I wish I could explain it fully. There are always lags in these things. And it may well be that that people are looking at those fuel prices, and that's getting them concerned. And there's good reason why it would get them concerned. That's like a tax on all Americans. But the real poll is what people are doing. The real poll is, are people getting jobs? Are employers expanding their businesses and investing in their businesses? Is real personal income going up? And are people spending? And when you look at it in terms of the realities of the economy, we're really on a strong and positive course forward for the American economy. And I think the polls will catch up with that reality.
The Secretary of the Treasury, John Snow, is with us. And Mr. Secretary, I tend to agree that NAFTA has overall been a good thing. For a variety of reasons. However, we have situations in West Virginia where a plant closes or the steel mills of the Northern Panhandle aren't doing very well. I had a call just yesterday about that on this program. And there's a philosophy, but there's also a reality. And how difficult is it for you, a big supporter of NAFTA, or somebody from this administration, to go to a steel town and say, look, NAFTA is a good thing. I know that you're losing your jobs, the steel mill's closing down, but overall NAFTA is a good thing. How do you do that?
Well, I think you start by saying to people that anybody who's lost a job has our deep concern. I know what it's like to lose a job. It's a terrible thing. And we need to make sure that people who lose jobs have opportunities to get new jobs. And that's largely a question of education, as well as having the underlying economy strong. Trade is good in the aggregate. It makes America stronger. It lowers prices. It creates more jobs. But no one would say that it doesn't have some negative sides to it as well. There is some displacement associated with trade. But there's more gain than loss. And it's very hard to talk to anybody who's lost a job and make them philosophical about it, you know? It's hard to be philosophical about a loss. But this administration is deeply committed to creating every job we can, every good job, right here in America. And to do that, we can't turn our back on the rest of the world, because we're only 5% of the world, and 95% of the customers, therefore, lie outside the United States. And we need to reach out to them. If our businesses are going to be strong, and if our businesses are strong, they'll hire lots of people and create lots of jobs. So it's a tough conversation, I'll grant you that, Javi. But trade is a positive for America, and we're now that the rest of the world is growing a little faster, they're buying a lot more from us, and our exports are going up. And that's a good thing, to see U.S. exports turning the corner and getting much, much stronger, because that means good American jobs.
How long will oil prices be at about $40 a barrel? How long will gasoline prices be at about $2 a gallon?
This is all extraordinarily unwelcome. I'll be meeting this weekend with the finance ministers of the major economies of the world, where that subject will be much on our minds. We recognize that the current energy prices are harmful to economic growth, and they act like a tax on the economy. Fortunately, we're not quite as dependent on energy as we were 25 years ago, and in real terms, these prices aren't as high as they were 20 years ago. But that's little consolation to somebody who sees the price of fuel up 20 cents, 30 cents, 40 cents at the pump.
And I know you got to go in about a minute to something else, but is it, Mr. Secretary, is it realistic to believe that the federal government should or could do something about the price of gas? Because there's two questions there, really, I think.
Right. Hopping on this one, I think the answer is, in the short term, it's very difficult. But if 3 years ago, when the president proposed his energy bill to make America less dependent on foreign sources of energy, if that bill had been passed, if the president's legislation were now law, we'd have a lot more energy in this country, and our prices wouldn't be where they are today. I'm confident of that.
All right, Treasury Secretary John Snow. Mr. Secretary, good talking to you again, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, Hoppy, thank you very much. Always good to be with you.
All right, take good care.